This is Religion Today with Martin Tanner, a weekly look at religion and spirituality here at home and around the world. Now, here's your host, Martin Tanner.
Welcome. This is Religion Today. I'm your host, Martin Tanner. Today, we have, by phone, a great guest, Dr. Tom Roberts, who is with us via phone from Weezer, Idaho. He has a PhD from Hellenic Orthodox Diasporas University in Athens, Greece. And I've had some delightful telephone conversations with him over the last couple of weeks. Welcome to our program today. It's a pleasure to have you.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, thank you. One of the things that I really wanted to mention to our listening audience so they'd have a little bit more information about you is about the great seminary and graduate school that you are affiliated with. You're the academic dean. You oversee the PhD program. Tell our listening audience a little bit about this wonderful school that you're affiliated with.
We took, many years ago, a very small and struggling Orthodox school and began to rewrite its policies and update its academic standing and to reevaluate our degree programs. It was always my goal in life to see a non-traditional school offer top-notch research degree programs. And so my feelings were that by the time you get to the Doctor of Theology or PhD, one should be prepared to do literary analysis, to understand the historicity and the way words change as the etymology changes through history, and one should be able to do some translating of ancient text and to evaluate why different theologians say the things they do. And so when I was called upon to serve as the academic dean at this institution, I put my dream into action because I wanted to see us offer a type of degree where one could serve in their local church under a priest or pastor at the Master of Divinity level and learn essentially the same things as if you would if you went to, you know, organized in-resident seminary educational center. So we took our MDiv and put it online, and then we actually have it where you can finish it in your local congregation or parish under the direction of a proctor. We have a PhD program where you can study Aramaic, where you can study literary structures, the Book of Isaiah, you can study the Dead Sea Scrolls, and, you know, many other areas of theology, and then you do a project at the end of each module. Then when you've finished 90 semester hours from six modules, then you, of course, do your oral defense and then present your paper to your committee. That's at least 50,000 words as a research project, and then go back and do your final draft and do your final comprehensives, and then, you know, come out as a doctor of theology, ready to research, teach, and serve the church from a scholarly position.
Sounds like a wonderful, wonderful program. For our listeners who, to be perfectly honest, may not know too much about the Orthodox faith other than, hey, maybe they go to the wonderful Greek festival that they have every summer here in Salt Lake City. Tell our listeners a little bit about your faith and where it fits into the history of Christianity, because it's a wonderful tradition, and it is the oldest tradition along with Catholicism.
Well, it's definitely a beautiful tradition that we can trace directly back to the apostles, and it takes many forms. Many people assume that orthodoxy is just, you know, one stripe of Christian thought. And the oldest churches that we can find in the Church of Jesus Christ of the Former Day Saints, and of course saints who are still with us to this day by that tradition, obviously come from Syria, and there's still a Syrian church there today. They come from the ancient Greek traditions, from the Thessalonian church. We have orthodoxy from the Far East that went to India by Thomas, and of course in 128 provinces in India and states, he founded what we call the Martoma traditions. There are Malankara traditions still in India to this day, and St. Elias trains their priests as well. There's another stripe of Orthodox Church called the Oriental Orthodox Church, and we have teaching agreements with some of their jurisdictions as well. This old tradition comes from the term orthos, that means, you know, correct teaching or correctly established teaching from, you know, a historical position. And it's interesting, we do differ from Roman Catholicism. There's no papacy. There's no doctrine of original sin. You can get CDs from Thomas Hopko from St. Vladimir's Seminary that will explain why we rejected the Orthodox tradition in the West through Augustinian theology that accepts the fall of man and that God only loves man when he has a right standing before God. We reject that. We feel that man is basically good, and while he lost some of his preeminent disposition in the fall, it is not like the Heidelberg and other catechism state in the Reformed tradition that God doesn't love man and God considers him to be evil, and only in Christ can this be reestablished. We believe that Tov Ma'ov, that in the Hebrew Bible, that phrase, which means it was all very good when God made creation as well as man. And therefore, we share a lot in common with the LDS Church when we say that, yes, sin separated us from God, but there were lessons that man had to learn to enter into a redemptive and restoration relationship so that he could reestablish contact with his Creator.
We are speaking this segment of our program, Religion Today, with Dr. Tom Roberts, who is the academic dean at St. Elias Orthodox Seminary and Graduate School. And we're talking about his faith and some of the wonderful history and tradition that is part of it. When we come back from this break, we're going to pursue one of the topics that makes the Orthodox tradition, at least to some extent, overlap a little bit with those of the Mormon faith, and that is the concept of deification, the idea that salvation is not so limited as it is viewed in some other Christian traditions. We'll be right back after this. Stay tuned. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today.
Religion Today with Martin Tanner continues on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back. This is Religion Today. I'm your host. Today with us by phone from Weezer, Idaho, is Dr. Tom Roberts. He has a PhD from Hellenic Orthodox Diasporas University in Athens, Greece. He's the academic dean of St. Elias Orthodox Seminary and Graduate School. And he is talking to us today a little bit about the Orthodox faith, which is the faith that he belongs to. And that faith shares one thing in common, well, many, but today we're focusing on one specific aspect that has some overlap, certainly not complete, and that is the idea of deification, the concept that people can literally become like God in many aspects in the next life. Explain maybe a little comparison and contrasting of the Orthodox view of that with the LDS view.
It's a very beautiful concept, and unfortunately many Christians look at it as heretical, when it really suggests something different than many people think. The ancients understood man to be made in the image of God. And even when we understand, you know, the Hebrew frame, we see various terms like the word likeness or dumat to mean that we're made in the similitude or the likeness of God himself. In New Testament language, we understand words like genos, which we get the word genos or gene, also reestablishes the fact that man is very much like God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we also see a word that is protos somos, in other words, it's like we're a shadow of God, or a mock-up, like when Boeing built the 707. There's a mock-up that's built, and it's like we're a clay model of the real us that will image God completely in the resurrection. This is certainly not a blasphemous concept, because we're not suggesting that man will be greater than God, but man will share in God's glory in a very real and wonderful sense when we are born by the resurrection of the dead through Christ and will follow Christ into the presence of the Father in a divine coronation. Let me just share with you a beautiful passage from the book Deification in Christ, Orthodox Perspectives on the Nature of the Human Person by Nellis. And he's one of the leading scholars in this area. And this is from page 158. And it says, and I quote, "The saints in the age to come will be, small letter g, gods, surrounding God, fellow heirs with him of some inheritance, and some will share co-rulership with him in the same kingdom. The God-man will shine forth as God in the midst of gods, as a beautiful leader who will lead the radiant choir of the saints in the dance." And, of course, where they're getting the choirs from, the book of Psalms and the ancient temple hymnody. And as far as, you know, the divine dance, that takes us back to the dance of Sophia or ancient wisdom. And it says here on page 159, this image is from the Apocalypse, the cosmology that is within Christ the Savior, semicolon, Christ descends from heaven like lightning to earth, while earth holds up her other sons to Son of Righteousness, and all things are filled with light, closed quote. Brother Martin, what do you think of that quotation?
It is a beautiful quote and a wonderful summary of some of the ideas on that subject that the early Christian fathers had, who are revered in pretty much every Christian tradition, until you start to get to those kinds of quotes, and then someone might say, gosh, he might have been a little bit off there. But frankly, the early church fathers had that concept, and that was wonderfully stated by Nellis, who you just quoted there.
Yes, St. Maximus talks about the recovery of the divine unity. He also stated that when we become what God is, then therefore there will be nothing to prohibit us from sharing in God's complete glory.
What a beautiful thought. It's quite a far cry from what we see in so many Christian traditions that see this unbridgeable gulf, as they often state it, between God and people.
And I think that's unfortunate, because there's another part of moving Godward theology, as my Dr. Dorothy, who was my mentor, said so clearly, that we're also keeping God from relating to us, aren't we, as family members. And so therefore, our full sonship of God can be somewhat limited. God will always be greater than we are, I believe. He'll always be growing and pursuing and be ahead of the game and, you know, be moving so far beyond us that we'll never catch him. And so we're not teaching some blasphemous concept that says that we will be somehow as great as Yahweh is. We will always be his sons and daughters, as Paul said, and as John the Beloved echoes so clearly, we will share even in the Logos, or his essence of even what God has given to us through divine speech.
Beautifully, so beautifully stated. Why do you think it is that some, so many other branches of Christianity have lost or limited, in a sense, God's ability to save mankind to such a high station? We just have a minute or so to go. Maybe that's an unfair question with just a short period of time, but
I think they're afraid that they will lower God to a human level, and so therefore they don't want to think about us being literal sons and daughters of God, and God raising us to share in his complete glory.
Wow, a fascinating statement. For those of you who have been listening today, or those who have just joined us, our guest has been Professor Tom Roberts. Dr. Roberts received his PhD at Hellenic Orthodox Diasporos University in Athens, and he is currently the academic dean and oversees the PhD program at St. Elias Orthodox Seminary and Graduate School. It has been such a pleasure to have you on today, and I hope we can have you on again.
I hope we can do it many more times and give the audience some deep things to think about and to consider.
I'm sure we will. It's been such a delight to have you on. One of the things that I promise we will do is talk some more with Dr. Roberts in the future. Join me again next week. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today on KSL.